This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Summer is supposed to be relaxing, right? But if you're anything like me, sometimes it feels like the exact opposite. Between work, family, travel, kids' schedules, and trying to keep up with everything else life throws at you, it's easy to spend the whole summer surviving instead of actually enjoying it. I know for me, one of the biggest challenges is making time for myself. There's always another story to write, another podcast to record, another event to cover. Before you know it, the calendar is full and you've never really slowed down. That's one reason therapy can be so valuable. It can help you better understand your needs, set boundaries, and build a version of summer that actually feels good instead of one that leaves you exhausted. BetterHelp has more than 30,000 licensed therapists and has served more than 6 million people worldwide. A short questionnaire helps match you with a therapist based on your needs and preferences. And if you don't feel like it's the right fit, you can switch to another therapist at any time. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/TOC. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/TOC.
Of course, the College World Series final is tonight, Monday, June 22nd, is when this is being recorded. Oklahoma, North Carolina, for all the marbles. A guy who's very familiar with college baseball. One of the OGs, man. This guy started this operation with me. But, you know, as time passed, he got too big, man. It's little old Sudu got left behind. I had to go out on my own to prove myself so I could become like one Ben Garrett. Spirit Ben, what's up, baby?
What's up? First of all that was nonsense. He's the one that abandoned me.
That's not true.
I'm glad to be back on Game Runs Deep. I hope that this isn't the last time. Yeah, I've missed talking to you, man. You've been asked about all, like, every single time, because we still do a show every single day, Talk of Champions, where you can search to see my daily show, Ole Miss Show, and in the chat every single day. Where's Sudo? Where's Sudo? Is Sudo okay? Is Sudo still alive? And I try to tell him he big timed us.
No. That's not true.
I guess we're trying to rewrite history here, but all right then.
What's up? All right. Look, man, I'm just glad we're here. We're talking again.
That's right.
Following Ole Miss's College World Series run, which obviously came to an end. The final actually tonight between Oklahoma and North Carolina, winner take all here on Monday, June 22nd. Have you been watching post Ole Miss what have you thought, man? I've been a little surprised. Both teams, North Carolina's pitching is supposed to be incredible. DeCaro gets blown up in game one, and then Oklahoma gets blown up in game two. So really, game three is the decider. I think UNC is going to do it. How you feeling?
I mean, I think so too. Oklahoma reminds me a lot of Ole Miss when it made its run in the NCAA tournament to a national title. It's the only national title in 2022. I mean, they've been scorching hot throughout the whole thing, and it's been really cool to see, because Oklahoma, you know, didn't finish amongst the top half of the conference this year, but just shows you the strength of the league. North Carolina, that first game against Ole Miss in the College World Series, Ole Miss threw its best bullets, fired its best bullets, I should say, and North Carolina was just better. I mean, sometimes you just get beat, and Ole Miss was beat. So I think as far as arriving in Omaha and performing exactly as they're supposed to, UNC's kind of checked all those boxes. I mean, that's a 50-game winner. And while they got beat around in that first game against Oklahoma, they were the class of their side of the block bracket. So it's going to be a good final. I'm kind of rooting for Oklahoma for the SEC angle, but if you're Ole Miss, you want to see UNC probably finish it off. Just say, hey, look, man, we just ran into a buzzsaw, which was the national champion. Troy didn't go as you wanted it to.
Right.
That one you can have, if you're an Ole Miss fan, some real consternation about. But North Carolina, man, they were just better than Ole Miss that day, and they've been good. A 50-game winner again with guys that are projected to go in the draft next month. I mean, this is a good team. So it's been a good final, and I think really been a good NCAA tournament writ large, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, from the super and regional action to Omaha, it's been a lot of fun. I know I've watched more college baseball this year than I've watched in a long time. And
sure.
It's been cool to see the numbers reflect that with ESPN talking about viewership numbers and stuff. It's been pretty wild. You'd hope that, like, the higher ups in those corporate offices would take more of a look at really blowing up college baseball, because it's especially after this year, it's just been a really, really good tournament.
Yeah, well, college baseball is the last kind of major college sport that still has the soul of what we talk about, right? The spirit of the thing, as you like to say all the time. Like, it's still very much about the game itself and the players and their stories more than it is about the extracurriculars that go on with it. And it's been really awesome, like you're saying, to see the coverage of it. And, you know, however you feel about Pat McAfee, I know West Virginia, his alma mater, was there, but for him to be in Omaha and get that kind of attention was awesome. And these two final two teams left. North Carolina, to me, man, that pitching staff is unbelievable. The kid that I believe they're going to start is Jackson Rose, who was awesome against West Virginia. I think on the season, he's undefeated. He's got 2.15 ERA. Probably the better pitcher out of the two starters. Oklahoma, I believe, starting Glauber. No, they're going to start Wislowski, right? The freshman, I believe, who pitched pretty well against Georgia the last time out. But I have a lot more faith in North Carolina, just the way they've built their roster and the way their pitching staff has been all season, and especially in the postseason. I'm going to say the Tar Heels. So, but I'm sure by the time this episode drops,
I would say so too for game three. You know, which one's better suited the two teams? I mean, North Carolina with its pitching depth is better suited for game three. For Oklahoma, ideally, you would have gotten it done yesterday, but you know, you got beat up pretty good. So I would give North Carolina the advantage going to the final. But again, with the way Oklahoma's played all postseason, and reminds me a lot of Ole Miss in 2022, which won 10 of 11 NCAA tournament games, despite being the last team named to the NCAA tournament field that year. So I would, if I were forced to like bet my house on it, I would certainly put it on North Carolina.
Yeah.
And after they really just beat Ole Miss straight up, right, on that Friday night, I've kind of been on the UNC train, but Oklahoma's fun and it's an SEC brother and it's a little different, but both of them, you can't go wrong with either one of them. I mean, I think that speaks a lot to what the tournament was this year. And I mean, how the game has changed and it's become more equitable. I mean, Ole Miss beat Oklahoma to win its national championship in 2022. It's not like Oklahoma hasn't been here in North Carolina, but you know, we're not talking about, I mean, LSU won it last year. They didn't even make the tournament this year.
Right.
You know, we used to see, like, growing up, it was Vanderbilt was the baseball school in the SEC, and Vanderbilt's had a fall off. I mean, it's really cool to see what the product has become, and I hope they continue to put the spotlight on it, because Ole Miss has been a very good baseball program for a long, long time, and it would be nice to see, especially with the way the postseason played out, it get the just coverage that it deserves, in my opinion, because it's been really cool to see.
Yeah. Your day job, obviously, you know, Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. You know, sad way to go out of the NCAA tournament, but ultimately it was great that Ole Miss made it to Omaha after a bit of a drought, a 4-year drought. Was great to see that. What do you think the biggest kind of flaw was? I mean, for me, it was the pitching just ultimately didn't hold up in a talented field ultimately. But is that kind of where you're at for why Ole Miss wasn't able to advance?
I mean, there were two big things. I'm not a big strikeout hater guy. I don't think the strikeouts are the worst out you could possibly put up. You know, I just don't buy into it. However, Ole Miss finished in the 300s in strikeouts. I mean, they were a three true outcome team. I've said it for months. I've said it on this podcast. I've used that phrase, three true outcomes, which is a walk, a home run, or a strikeout.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss played that to a T. So I think some more bat to ball personnel additions are important. And that starts with like a Houston infielder, outfielder, and Blake Fields, you committed to him when they double dipped on offense on Saturday. TCU catcher Brady Dallimore, kid's got some outfield ability. You know, if Austin Foley goes in the draft, he could be a step-in replacement for him. I think Ole Miss is operating like Austin Foley will be back, so Brady Dallimore can maybe factor in. Also at catcher, he and Austin Foley splitting time, but he's got positional versatility in the corner outfielder at DH. Luke Romines in the Appalachian League in Summer League Baseball, and he's had a good start. I mean, that's a player that they're going to rely on. But, you know, I'm with you. I do agree with you. The disappointing end, going 0-2 in Omaha, no one wants that. But like I said, Friday, they just got beat, and sometimes that happens. And when you're in a do-or-die scenario, all bets are off. You want to avoid that 0-1 start. Once you get there, Ole Miss unfortunately did not survive that and was the first team eliminated. But it doesn't take away from how special the season was. I mean, this was a program after that title in 2022, back-to-back losing seasons, and that was a first. Like, Mike Bianco, Ole Miss baseball teams didn't lose like that ever in his 24, whatever, how many years it was. Now he's entering year 27. They didn't lose like that. And this group, Will Furniss, Judd Uitermark, Hunter Elliott, of course, staying through it all despite other opportunities and getting the program back to Omaha was an achievement unto itself. Now, you fell short because every team that doesn't win it falls short of the ultimate goal. But the season itself was wildly successful, and they return a lot of that core in the lineup. Now, the pitching rotation, that's where we'll see how they make up for the inevitable, in my opinion, losses of Taylor Rabe and Cade Townsend. I know that Cade's kind of been hinting at a potential return, but that's a first round MLB draft pick, guys. I mean, he's going to go. So is Taylor. If Hunter gets drafted in the 20 round MLB draft in July, he will sign, in my opinion, because he's got 1 year of eligibility remaining, but he would have no bargaining power whatsoever. He would either just not get drafted and sign as an undrafted free agent, or like if he gets drafted this year, I think he'll go. So Ole Miss has the potential to replace his entire weekend rotation. But the two things that cost them that resulted in them getting 0-2 in Omaha, maybe not hosting the regional, not taking the Georgia series, which would have led to a regional host, not taking the Arkansas series, which would have probably led to a regional host. I think it had to come. It came back to the overwhelming propensity for this lineup when it was struggling to strike out, finishing in 300s, and then not enough pitching depth. They went into the year thinking they had more pitching depth than they'd had, and I think that's true. But when the end of the year, because of underperformance, guys get hurt, this, that, and the other, whatever, they didn't have enough pitching depth. So they really have attacked that so far in the portal. They got 8 commitments, sure, 5 are pitchers. Yeah. And I don't think they're done there either. So those are the two big areas for me that were their fatal flaws that led to them getting bounced. But don't let the end take away from the special nature of the season, because it was really special considering where it came from.
Out of all those pitchers you just mentioned coming from the portal, and Charlie Foster and Hawsey, or Rizzi, Wilcox from Georgia Tech, who are you most excited about? Who do you think is going to be the biggest difference maker out of that group?
Well, Hawsey is Trey Hawsey. He's an infielder from Louisiana Tech. He's a first baseman who's going to step in immediately for Will Furness, both in the lineup and in the field. But as far as all of these pitchers could be rotation candidates, I think Maverick Rizzi's got real projectable upside for what he could be. The thing is the stuff is real. The tunnel in which he's throwing from, the size and the pitchability, 6'9". There's a lot to like, and the stuff is very real, but harnessing his command has been an issue, and it's already an issue again in the summer league. You know, he's got a 4-point-something ERA in the summer league, and it's mainly because just consistently staying in the zone has been his problem. If he can harness that, this is a player that LSU was counting on to take a step Again, there are real encouraging signs in the margins, but putting together a full season is a different thing altogether. So we'll see if Maverick Rizzi can do that. But I like what Georgia Tech right-hander Charlie Wilcox can offer them as a rotation candidate. I like what Mississippi State left-hander Charlie Foster can. All of them have questions. Every guy that gets into the portal essentially has questions.
Sure.
Because the best of the best, you're retaining your very, very best players, right? The biggest addition for Ole Miss is its addition by not subtraction with Hayden Federico. Yeah. Right, Hayden was their best hitter all around by the end of the year, and now he re-signs. I mean, he had portal interest from LSU and others, and now you're trying to fit around them, address needs in the portal with guys that do have flawed resumes but could help you, and that's where you bring up the control issues with Maverick Rizzi. You talk about Charlie Foster and his inflated ERA at Mississippi State, but these guys have projectable tools, and I think they've really done a good job so far of getting out in front. Maybe because of the early exit in Omaha, whatever it might be. I mean, they were having to walk a dual track regardless because the portal is inexplicably opened during the College World Series. I mean, it makes no friggin' sense. And it closes before the draft. I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
But
knowing
that, I think Ole Miss has done a good job so far of really attacking its knees, but it is far, far from done. They need another bat, probably for third base or in a corner outfielder. I mean, you're not just losing Judd. You're losing Will Furness, yes, and you're replacing with Trey Hawsey. But, I mean, Tristan Bassetta was so good in a one-year stint for Clemson. And that was a guy who the year before, because of injuries and stuff, he had to bounce back. Just like all these other guys, they got to do some things to get to that place. But, he was hitting .227 last year because of injury and all this kind of stuff, and he became Ole Miss's home run leader. Yes, Judd Utermark was the home run king, became the all-time Ole Miss home run king this year, surpassing Tim Elko, but who led Ole Miss in home runs was Tristan Bassetta. So you're replacing over 40 home runs just with Judd Utermark and Tristan Bassetta alone.
Sure.
Right? We're not even talking about Will Furness and guys like that. They're far from done, but I think so far with what they've added, they've really done a good job of attacking their needs in this kind of dual track that everybody's having to walk, which, again, NCAA and your infinite wisdom, what the heck are we doing here? But yeah, I think Ole Miss so far has done a pretty good job of hitting things, especially double dipping on offense on Saturday, because it was pitcher heavy and they still got holes to fill in that lineup, specifically with power.
Yeah. You talk about, hitting. I mean, no one was hotter than Braden Randall at the end of the season, in the postseason. Were you surprised at that departure? And how do you replace that?
No, I wasn't surprised. He wants the opportunity to be a primary shortstop. He's not going to get that here at Ole Miss. I mean, that's right. Owen Pano. He's going to be the guy. He had a bounce back year. Still, had his issues, but he's their shortstop. So he wasn't going to play shortstop here. It's interesting to see that he has visits or has already taken visits to, has visits set up or taken visits to Mississippi State and Tennessee, which he wouldn't get that primary shortstop opportunity at either of those places as well. Braden Randall's a great story, and he handled himself incredibly well playing the outfield, having not played it since U14 ball in the postseason, was an incredible thing unto itself. And
right.
He was their hottest hitter. He was really hot, hit over 400, like maybe over 450 in the postseason, but still for the year had an OPS barely over 700. It's a loss. Don't make any mistake, but honestly, the day after Ole Miss got eliminated from Omaha, I was doing this projected kind of lineup with what they had coming back, and I couldn't find a place for him, right? And I'd heard some things about, wanting to be a primary shortstop and this, that, and the other. I'm fascinated to see where he ends up. If it's State or Tennessee, then that, for me, that he wants to play primary shortstop doesn't really hold water. It's like, okay, but you're not anyway. But, I have no bad things to say about Braden, a great soldier, and he did some great things. Was I surprised? No, because I know what he wants and how the year went for him. And it was frustrating because he thought he should be an everyday lineup guy, and he wasn't until at the end of the year in the postseason. So that's the kind of stuff that happens. But just like with all the players Ole Miss has averaged or brought in through the portal, Maverick Rizzi, Trey Halsey, Brent Stukes, Eli Pillsbury, Charlie Wilcox, Charlie Foster, Brady Dalimore, Blake Fields, he's not a perfect player. There are some flaws in him, But as far as his fit for next year, it was hard to really figure out what that was. So, no, not surprising at all. And I think they've already done a good job of replacing him. And what I mean by that is, look who they played above him before they finally said, well, Braden's the only one that's given us any kind of consistency. Cannon Golden is in the summer leagues right now. Luke Romine's in the summer leagues. They think Luke Romine could be an all-league caliber bat before he leaves Ole Miss. They want, and he's a first-base DH, right? You already have a lot of those guys. Trey Halsey. It's not like you could just throw Braden Randall in at DH or maybe throw him in the corner outfielder. If Brady Dalimore isn't catching or he isn't DHing, he will be playing probably a corner outfield spot, kind of like a Nick Fortes profile in that way. Nick's now in the Major League Baseball. I'm not saying he's going to be Nick Fortes, but Nick's in the pros just as a primary only catcher at Ole Miss. His last year, he was the primary right fielder. So I can see something like that for Brady Dalimore. Blake Fields is, to me, an improvement over what Braden Randall is as a junior with a, barely 700 OPS going to another school like Houston infielder Blake Fields. That's a coming off a freshman year hitting 270. There's some upside there that you kind of know what Braden is. So replacing him, I think they've already done that. I think they did that. And that's part of why he left, is because Cannon Golden was getting opportunity. Brett Mosley was getting opportunities. Luke Romine getting opportunities. So best of luck to him. I think he's a good player. I almost would have loved to keep him. I think he'd have been an obvious candidate for him though, it had been starting at left field or right field. He wants to be on the infield dirt. So best of luck to him. But I think Ole Miss is already well on its way, if it hadn't already, replacing him with not just with portal players, but with players that they now have played in the summer leagues, including Cannon and Brett Mosley, Luke Romine, that would have taken the at-bats that Braden Randall, he himself, is kind of looking for. One thing I've realized covering Ole Miss is I'm almost always on the move. Whether it's football camps, SEC media days coming up, baseball or basketball, I'm living out of my truck half the summer. That's one reason I've become such a fan of Quince. I've been wearing their linen shirts a lot lately because they're lightweight, breathable, and comfortable enough to wear all day, whether I'm outside covering recruiting or sitting down to record Talk of Champions. They just work. I also like that Quince cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting really high-quality clothing without paying luxury brand prices. Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. Quince.com/TOC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's Quince, quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/TOC. One thing I've learned over the years doing this job is that you never really know what somebody else is carrying. We spend a lot of time talking football, recruiting, and Ole Miss. But life's a lot bigger than sports. Everybody goes through seasons where they need somebody to talk to. That's one reason I found BetterHelp's latest State of Stigma report interesting. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise. Yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so. It's kind of a reminder that even though we've gotten better about talking about mental health, asking for help can still be difficult. If somebody in your life is struggling, don't be afraid to encourage them to talk to someone. Sometimes having that conversation is the hardest step. Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com. Anybody who's ever tried to book a hotel room in Oxford, Mississippi for an SEC weekend knows how quickly travel costs can add up. And honestly, the same thing applies for family vacations, beach trips, music festivals, or even getting away for a few days. That's why Outdoorsy is such a cool option. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the country. And they make it incredibly easy to rent an RV or camper without actually owning one. There are thousands of options nationwide, many of them right in your own neighborhood, and you've got choices. You can drive it yourself, tow it, or my favorite option, have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. Plus, there's built-in peace of mind with comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance included. And especially for families or larger groups, it can often be more affordable than booking multiple hotel rooms. Whether you're planning the ultimate Ole Miss tailgate, a family vacation, or just looking to turn the drive into part of the adventure, Outdoorsy is worth checking out. Talk of Champions listeners can get all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code TOC at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy, OUTDOORSY.com. And use my promo code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to remove service fees. That's Outdoorsy, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of options. Hopefully continue the momentum in the portal. And you know, it's 4 years is too long, Benny. It's too long to wait for Omaha, man.
Well, here's the thing though. Like if you look at it this way,
yeah,
Ole Miss has been to Omaha twice in the last 4 years. It sounds different. It sounds better.
That's true. It's all about
messaging. Rather than going, you know, they went for the first time since the '70s in 2014 and then waited till 2022 to get back.
Right.
And then went back to back losing seasons. So I like to think that, we can now explain away those back-to-back losing seasons on the changing culture of it. And Mike, admittedly, he'll say this. I'm not saying anything he hadn't said before or that he wouldn't admit himself. They were slow to the portal game. They were. Yeah. And they're not like that anymore. So ever since they've caught up and are now competing in the portal market as a program the caliber of Ole Miss should, they're winning again. Like last year they hosted a regional. This year they didn't host a regional, and that sucks for the local Ole Miss community. But they swept through the Lincoln and Auburn regional and super regionals respectively. Go 0-2 in Omaha, but they made it there. And UNC, who I think they're going to win tonight. I think they're going to beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like they just beat them on that Friday. And once you get into do or die, man, like you can't – I don't think that Ole Miss fans should make big sweeping – generalizations and judgments on Ole Miss baseball based off an 0-2 appearance in Omaha. Because again, you're returning Dom Decker probably at second base, Owen Pano at shortstop, Austin Fawley probably at catcher. Like him and Dom are both going to entertain the MLB draft. I just don't think they're getting drafted.
Yeah.
And if they don't get drafted, I think they're coming back. Same thing with Hunter, because I don't know what Hunter's professional options could be. Maybe he's an undrafted free agent. He gets good money or something. I don't know. But I don't think that's happening. So, I mean, like, if you start to think about it that way, Hayden Federico in center field, though he was the future at third base when he came in, maybe he slides to third base because, look, you got Brady Dalemore who can play left. You've got Luke Ryan. You know, there's all kind of ways. Ole Miss is in a good place, in a place today that it, like, in a better starting place for the post or for the next season roster build than they've been in any time since they won that 2022 world title.
Yeah.
That's just the guy. Like, even last year, you had to take big swings or maybe like Tristan Bissetta wasn't a sure thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hit on him. You nailed it. You know, you hit on it.
Don What's Decker, the percentage? So if I gave you a percentage on them being back in Omaha, just based on what you've seen so far, but what they're retaining, what they've done in the portal, what would that percentage be for you?
Oh my gosh. Wouldn't even know where to begin. Like I don't, because it's so incomplete. That's the, like my biggest beef, you know, it's okay. Like we're trying to make these judgment while they're still playing. They're still yeah. playing. Like there's one more game left in the College World Series. And
sure.
I mean, Ole Miss still needs more pitching depth. I need to yeah. know about the health of Marco Cipolla. If he's even going to be a part of this next year, Owen Hancock's in summer league this year with Ole Miss. He was a big transfer pitcher addition for them last year. And he didn't really pitch all that much,
yeah.
but he's a guy that could be a rotation candidate. Losing Noah Allen hurts. You know, he only threw like, what, 9 innings or something? It was a minuscule amount of pitching for Noah Allen this year. But, man, the stuff in terms of what he could be, he's going to be one that Ole Miss could look back and go, dang, I wish we'd have held on to him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
That's really, really impossible for me to say because I don't know the other rosters as well. I really don't. Like, I don't know who all's losing what or, you know, I only really know Ole Miss. But as far as starting place for a core – they're pretty good. They're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Curious to see how the rotation shakes. I mean, I don't know. Like, you could be replacing all three, and there's no, like, obvious guy that say, oh, well, he's next. Like, Grayson Gibson could be that dude. Will Liberatt, man, he had that one really good start, or not start, but good appearance in the postseason. He opened the year as Ole Miss's number three starter.
Right.
Will he take a step? I mean, we've seen guys do it time and time again where their first year at Ole Miss, regardless if it's the portal or coming in from high school, junior college, that first year, it's a struggle getting used to it, but then they find it. And I don't know, Will Liberatt with a year under Joel Mangrum is really fun to think about. So if you made me guess now, I mean, I don't think anybody, you know, even the ones like North Carolina and Oklahoma, if you ask those people today, like those Ben Garris, whoever cover those teams, he said, hey, man, do you think they'll make it back to Oklahoma, Omaha this time next year? They'd probably say, I mean, you can't go higher than what, like 30%?
Yeah.
40%?
Yeah. Well, UNC's use of the portal is why they are where they're at. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you can maybe give them a little more.
They're never going to be that reliant. It's not. I mean, right. they're more of a balance in terms of developmental guys. Like a Luke Romine, I know he frustrated Ole Miss fans a lot last year, but like imagine if you'd given up on Tim Elko or Judd Uedemark after their first and second
sure.
year. Like Elko was hitting .212 after his sophomore year for his
yeah.
career. Right now, he's one of the very best. He's got a statue at Swayze Field, for goodness sake. I mean, this is a guy who won a national championship. You want to say a world title, but that's not what it is. Maybe in Major League Baseball, it's a world title, but like not in. So they won a title. Imagine if you'd given up on him through his early struggles. Luke Romine is a guy that I'm not saying is going to be Tim Elko, but they think he's one that just needs the opportunity to sink and swim. And once he starts to swim, you're not going to be able to catch up to him, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that too. But so many things projectability-wise would have to land for Ole Miss to get to that competitive place. Because like, this team was built for Omaha. These are multi-year guys. I mean, Judd, Will, Hunter, it was a great, great starting place.
Right.
That was a better starting place. I guess I'm contradicting myself because I just said, like, I thought this no, last year was a better starting place than this one, but this one's still better than those other teams that came before them, mainly because of you had Taylor Rabe and Kate Taylor, but like Taylor Rabe emerged this year. Will right. there be a Taylor Rabe emergence? I don't know. Who could have seen Taylor Rabe becoming a first round pick this year? I don't know if anybody would have, but like you had Hunter and Cade, you knew you had them. You had Judd, you had Will. Now, the lineup piece, I think, is a little bit better, but pitching wise, they still got a lot to figure out. But so far through the portal, so good. I'm so fascinated to see what returning arms emerge, step
also,
up.
Also, you got to imagine the schedule is not going to be as brutal as it was this year. I mean, there's no way, man. There's no way they're going to have a schedule as brutal as this year.
Maybe not. I mean, like this team, if the schedule were just a smidge easier, would have made a would have 100% hosted a regional. So
right.
I mean, you'd think so, but you know, I don't think Ole Miss cares. I mean, being a 2 seed is not a 1 seed hosting, but like, I think they showed their strength. They showed
they got it done. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I mean, that yeah. like I don't want to knock this team historically because they were a 2 seed instead of a 1. Like, there are some teams that have hosted for Ole Miss that this team I would take them against.
Yeah,
it's just true.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, like I think that the schedule, whatever it is, it's going to be hard for it to be as difficult as this one was. But also that made this group so battle tested, right? Like, and that's why I think it's important for whatever the schedule is. Like, Ole Miss doesn't think about who they play. It's just about putting together the best possible team. And right now they're not there yet, but they're getting there. It's going to be hard to replicate 41 and 23 with especially three big sluggers. I mean, here's the thing. Ole Miss came into the year as the only program in college baseball with three 20 home run returning hitters. Only one of them hit 20 again, and that was Judd, right? So, like, if I'd have told you going into last year, well, Daniel Pacella is not going to do well for you. Austin Fowler is going to fall short of 20 home runs again. I said, uh-oh, are you sure they can get to Omaha? Well, I didn't predict that Tristan Bassetto was going to hit 23, 24 home runs. There's a lot of things that went right. Taylor Rabe emerging as first-round pick. So there's a lot of unknown in that way. And obviously, if Ole Miss is going to replicate this year's success, they're going to have to have some like equal parts emerging like that again. But, yeah, I mean, I like this. I like what Ole Miss baseball is back on solid footing and at a place where you know they're going to be in the fight. It's just how well-equipped are they going to be, you know, because for two years it was a question they were going to be in the fight. Now they know how to play the portal better and know how to play like other true contenders, and they'll be able to play some of these guys. But there's going to have some guys step up, and that includes not just portal guys, but guys that are playing summer leagues, including Luke Roman.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, the pitching, obviously, big key for next season, but you do have a war chest with the Grove Collective, and like you're saying, they now know how to use that in baseball, so that's encouraging. Can't let you go without talking a little Ole Miss football. First and foremost, Ella Langley going to be in Oxford, man. She's going to be is it the Pavilion or the Vought before the Ole Miss LSU game? Talk about just talk about elevating that weekend
to a
whole nother level. I mean, I'm sure Lane Kiffin's going to be pumped to see some Ella Langley.
I don't think he's going to be able to get tickets.
There's no way. I mean, I would highly doubt. Is that going to be at the Pavilion or is it going to be at the Vought?
I'm looking. The pavilion. I didn't know about Ella Langley till yesterday when my daughters, before this announcement came down, my wife and my daughter's like, hey, you know, Ella Langley's coming to Ole Miss. And I went,
yeah, the Dandelion
and
tour.
And they're like, we would love to get tickets to Ella Langley. So, yeah, it's awesome. Great.
Good or bad for that whole week? I'm not talking about economy and dollars. I mean, just in terms of pure traffic and just what's going on in town.
Yeah, it's great. Like, if you want to be at the center of where it's happening, then it'll be Oxford. I mean, I think this adds to it. I mean, there's no reason. But I would push back against one thing specifically.
Okay.
This doesn't really add anything to that week. That week is just what it is regardless. All this does is just give you more options for what was already going to be place to be in college football.
Well, the way I look at it is having grown up there is like, it gives it a big city, big town. I can't call Oxford a city, a big town vibe. Like, hey, it's not just the game, Ole Miss football game this weekend, but like,
that's true.
Ella Langley on a Thursday, you got that's this true. On Friday. So, and to me, it excites me about that entire entertainment district that's being built around the Vought and what's to come in the future. Like, man, these kind of events are going to be happening all week. It's going to be a lot of, you know, money for that economy and the university.
Oh yeah. When you say money, like, we're not talking when that entertainment district's built, like the word I got was billion with a B, like how much it's going to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the Battery Atlanta, what a boon it's been. I mean, I think a lot
absolutely.
Of other programs, and now they're going down to college. I mean, they're starting to try to replicate that success.
Yeah. That's what Tennessee's doing. You know, Tennessee's doing.
Ole Miss is doing the floor, sell that shit. You know what I mean? And that's what they're doing. So it's great for Oxford. That week's going to be an absolute zoo, man.
I can't wait. Well, I had David Cobb on earlier in the show, and you know, he couldn't go without talking about that Ole Miss LSU weekend. And everyone I talked to, man, it's just,
I don't want to entertain the world where Ole Miss doesn't win that game. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah. It's going to be a big week for you. You and Lane getting the little picture before the game on the field. That's going to be
probably not, Sue. I very seriously doubt it'll be some big week for your boy. But you know, like, there's no doubt the Lane show, keeping up with the Kardashians, is going to roll into town something fierce, and who's going to say his stuff and this, that, and the other. You know, at the end of all things, man, like, if you made me predict which one's going to have a better win total in 2026, I'm taking Ole Miss all day.
Yeah.
And I know people go, oh, well, you're the Ole Miss guy. I don't give a crap. I mean, if I weren't, I'd pick Ole Miss over LSU.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the stuff that Lane does, even to this day, mostly is to distract from the fact that he doesn't love his roster.
Yeah.
He's trying to set it up to where, like, when they inevitably win 8 or 9 games, he can say, well, we're building. I told you we were building.
Right.
When that is not why you said you left. That is not why, but the swing game for both of those teams for that entire conversation takes place in Oxford, Mississippi, Vaught Hemingway Stadium on September 19th. Because if Ole Miss loses that game, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But like, I did a podcast on Friday, and like, one of my bold predictions was that Ole Miss would finish with a better record than LSU.
Yeah.
You know? So like, if we're just talking purely about the football, people are just in like really excited about that game for the soap opera nature of it.
Right.
When it comes to the football, that's a game Ole Miss should win.
Sure.
And if it doesn't, bigger questions will have to be asked, especially if they don't finish like they should, you know.
100%.
You talk about tough schedule baseball. Look at the football schedule.
No, it's brutal. We've gone through it. I mean, plenty
Georgia,
of times.
Texas, Oklahoma, LSU. I mean, it's tough.
At Florida. No one's talking about Florida,
which is sneaky tough after LSU.
Right.
Like all the emotion of LSU. Then you got to go to Gainesville, where John Sumrall, I think the world of, and Buster Faulkner, your boy.
Mm-hmm. Say it louder.
Like, it's going to be tough. So, that game's massive for a number of reasons. Congrats to Oxford and Ella Langley for matching up, and I hope it goes great. But, like, ain't nobody going to need any more juice for that one, you know, because taking the Lane shit out of it.
Yeah. It is still Ole Miss LSU. Like, let's not forget that this is a rivalry game. I've been saying it since his name came up as a candidate at LSU. I know in recent years, maybe LSU fans don't feel the same. It has always been a rivalry, and it has just been, you know, more gasoline has been thrown on it than I would have ever expected.
Well, the one thing that could happen to make it go into the ether.
Yeah.
Happened. Lane left Ole Miss for LSU. And so, like, anybody that wants to pretend like Ole Miss's greatest rival or LSU's greatest rival right now isn't Ole Miss is insane.
Yeah.
Or they're not seeing the reality for what it is, you know? Sure. So prepare yourselves, enjoy the dog days, because the minute fall camp opens up, it's just going to be balls to the wall, man. And, I don't think any of us can prepare for what it's going to be.
I cannot wait. Absolutely cannot wait. Before I let you go, what's on the radar, man? What are you cooking up over at the Ole Miss Spirit? What can we expect? SEC Media Days are coming up here soon. That's going to create more storylines and headlines that are inevitably going to end up being about Pete versus Lane, Lane Ole Miss. But what are you working on, and what are you excited about this summer?
Well, I sat down with Chris Beard last week, one-on-one, talked about the roster. They still got to add a few more players. They're trying to add some international bigs, or two international players, not just bigs, Ben Henshaw and Mojave King. So you can read all about Chris Beard's roster, but he's got to hire a few more assistants too, and that's all at the Ole Miss Beard.com, Freedom on 3. Recruiting is every single day. This weekend, you got Caden Moss supposed to commit. I don't know if he will, but that's been the plan this Friday for him. Turn around the next day is supposed to be Alvin Mosley. I expect Ole Miss to be, or I would just say, let me just put it this way, Ole Miss is the leader for both of them today, Monday, June 22nd, 2026. David Gabriel George commits in July. You mentioned SEC Media Days. The Manning Passing Academy is coming up. Trinidad Chambliss will be one of the player, you know, counselors there at the Manning Passing Academy. We'll have full coverage of the Ole Miss Spirit. We do this all day, every day. That's why, like, if you're worried about being Ole Miss entertained for the summer, there's only one place to encourage you to be, and it costs you nothing. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. We'd love to have you. We just want to be the place Ole Miss fans feel they can come to. So, yeah, man, like, we're going to be covering all that, dude. And, like, recruiting's a big, big piece. So, commitments coming. Caden Moss again on Friday. Alvin Mosley on Saturday. What we're hearing football-wise, I mean, it's nonstop. It's all day, every day. So, what's cooking? Everything's cooking all the time.
Let's
get it. Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com. Affiliate of Ole Miss 3, sign up today. New members can sign up for half off an annual sub. At the Ole Miss
Spirit. I love it. I love it. And obviously, you will be on Game Runs Deep to talk Ole Miss plenty.
You're full of crap.
The invite is always
there. I didn't really know that you brought back Game Runs Deep. I thought we were supposed to talk about it. I didn't hear nothing.
I told you a couple weeks ago. See, this is what I'm saying, man. You got too big for me. Okay, you got too big. You're doing like 7 jobs now. You know, everybody wants a piece of Spirit Ben. So I had to kind of go out on my own.
Yeah, I feel like completely different. I feel like everybody wants Spirit Ben to shut the hell up. But, you know, I appreciate that. That's cute. It's a load of malarkey because, you know, Game Runs Deep was our baby. But, baby bro, yeah, you know, you're Mr. WWE, MLB Network, ESPN. You got to do your thing.
Whenever you need the
dinky little Ole Miss guy, you just let me know on your Game Runs Deep.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm expecting you during football season to come back in full force. So get ready.
Hey, you know what my phone number is?
I do.
All I need is an invitation. You're the one that, you know, oh yeah, man, we're going to build this together. Hey man, you know what? This ain't working for me.
None of that happened. None of that happened, man. One of these days I'm going to have to write a tell all because my story, you know, no, I'm kidding. But I appreciate it, Benny. As always, follow him at the Ole Miss Spirit @SpiritBen. I'll see you next time, bud.
See you, buddy.